Thank you, Father, for this time that we've had in your presence. Now we come to hear what's on your heart today, Lord. Thank you for this word that you've given us, that we are reminded today that who we are in you and where we're seated at with you. Thank you for opening your word up today, God, that I may speak only what's directed by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be reading from Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 13 as we get into the word this morning. Hallelujah. His word, his word, his word. Our roadmap while we're here on this earth. Everything in there belongs to us now. Amen. All the promises of God. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. That is who we are this morning. Amen. So I was watching a Western movie a few weeks back, and don't even know the name of it or anything. But as I was watching it, it was an older movie, and it's back when the settlers were coming in, you know, and claiming territory and everything. And there were a band of settlers moving into an area to purchase property to settle their family down. And as they were asking in the movie, they were asking about the property and where they should settle and what they should buy and where they should buy. The older men in town said, make sure you get property above the snake line. The lowlands around here ain't good for settling in. Too many snakes and such as that in the old land, in the lowlands. You want to make sure you get above higher ground. You got to go higher up, they said, above the snake line to live free from the snakes and such that are found in the lowlands. And I thought, wow, that would preach. So I've kind of had it in the back of my mind for a while. Yeah. So there's a certain altitude, so I thought, well, is this really true? Because my husband thinks there's snakes everywhere. And so I said, is this really true? So I began to do a little research on it, and there is an altitude where snakes do not go, which scientists call the snake line. And as one ascends into a mountain above which snakes do not live because of the atmospheric conditions that are not conducive to their survival. So what kind of atmosphere are you creating today?
Amen.
Amen? Are you living above the snake line? Come on, somebody. So the Bible, we know, refers to the devil as a serpent or snake. How's that? That good? That's good. Okay. All right. Commercial over. So when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were lifted out of that place. This is a place of hopelessness, sorrow, confusion, and pain. It's a place of broken hearts, shattered dreams, ruined relationships, and troubled minds. And set us in places with Jesus above the snake line. This is a place of spiritual replenishment. This is a place of abundance. This is a place of spiritual safety, security, healing, and hope, and joy. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, what? All things become new." Colossians 1:12-13 tells us, we just read, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers." We have an inheritance through Jesus Christ. Amen? And he has made us to be partakers of that inheritance in the saints. And he's delivered us from darkness, translated us, or carried us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you've been saved, you've been elevated. You're not the same person you were used to be. You do not have the same desires you used to have. You have been equipped to live on a much higher level than the world around you. For that you should do what Paul says, give thanks unto the Father. And now that you are born again and saved, you have a witness inside of you, knowing there is a supernatural power that is not of this world. That he has come to live inside of you. And his name is I Am That I Am. And we've not only been elevated to this position, but he has enlightened us in that position. So those who have been saved by grace now understand and placed above the snake line, understand the difference between the new life they have been given and the old life in sin. You've been given the ability within you. You may not have tapped into it yet or know about it yet. Amen. But there is a spirit of understanding in you called the Holy Spirit that leads and guides you into all truth. So you've been given the ability to know God, to know his will, and to know his truth, and to know his way. So Colossians 1:19-13 says, "For this cause, the day we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." It's not his will for you to put yourself back in the low land that you came from. And we'll understand in a minute how we do that. Jesus doesn't put us back there because he took us out. So he has the power to take us out and keep us where we're at. Amen. So filled means to be completely full. Knowledge is to know fully. Will, that which has God decreed. Wisdom is God's truth known, understood, and lived out in our daily lives. So spiritual understanding is an intelligence outside ourselves. The ability to know and comprehend that cannot be naturally known or comprehended. We are not tapping into the resource that we have inside of us. Amen. Like we could and like we should. There is a powerhouse inside of us. And we're able to tap into that through prayer and agreeing and trusting the Lord and what his word says. The Bible says in 2:14, the natural man, you can't receive this inheritance that the Bible talks about what we've inherited through the natural man, because it makes no sense. So he says that not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. So if we try to comprehend and to understand the word through our natural man, it won't make no sense. Amen. We have to discern it and comprehend it through our spirit man, the spirit man that's inside of us. Verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. If you've been saved for a while, you should ever be increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. And you will grow as much and as fast as you want to and as you desire. Amen. So those who live above the snake line walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. And this does not mean that you have to make yourself worthy, because you can't. You didn't save yourself, so you can't keep yourself saved. It's by the power of God. So it does not mean that we are worthy of what the Lord did for us, or we're trying to prove it to get it or maintain it. It means becoming, or in a manner fitting of. Paul says here that those who live above the snake line are enabled to live lives that are pleasing to God. We can overcome. We are overcomers in this life. Amen. So we have been empowered. Not only have we been enlightened, but we have been empowered to stay in that position, not because we're trying to keep it, but because we're trying to do things to get us out of it and bring ourselves back to what we've been delivered from. So we have been empowered. Verse 11 tells us that we are strengthened by His power. His power works to give us patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Amen. So you don't have to pray for patience. Just go to Walmart. Amen. Strengthen. And it means, the word means to be enabled. God has enabled you to maintain life and to live life seated in Him and with Him. The word might, this word speaks of authority, force, and power. There is a supernatural force that is at work within us to live in the position that God has placed us in. And it's not in your own strength. The glorious power refers to that extends beyond the ordinary, because we serve an extraordinary God that can do extraordinary things through the likes of us when we are submitted to doing His will and begin to comprehend and to realize what we have in us. Patient endurance is in mind here. Long suffering. The word refers to forbearance or standing firm when others would fall. Joyfulness. The word speaks of cheerfulness. This is all conducive of the person that is born again, that's living and seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are enabled to live for God with a power that exceeds our human power. Because our power fails. Our power wears out. Our doing and working and trying to maintain will fail. Because what's birthed in the Spirit will be maintained by the Spirit. But if we're trying to birth things in the flesh, guess what will happen? It has to be maintained by the flesh, and you're going to crash. So this makes it possible for us to live above this line, not in our own power, but His. And He says, call to me. Amen. Let me know what I have given you at your new birth. His power working in us gives us the authority that live lives pleasing to God. Not to try to earn His favor, but to bear fruit that will remain. Amen. So we've been elevated, we've been enlightened, and we've been able to live a new kind of life in Christ Jesus from the lowlands that we used to live in. Amen. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the what? We read this Wednesday night. In the what? In the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And Paul was talking about the law. If you try to if you're not standing fast in the liberty that Jesus gave you at your new birth, that He paid the price for. And He goes on to tell us, don't be entangled in it. Go back to the bondage of the law and try to work for what has already been given to you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I am free to live in the position that God has given to me. And so do you. Amen. You can have joy. You can walk in joy and not feel bad about it. When others are not walking in joy and they don't understand why you are. Amen. They don't understand you can walk in being prosperous in your body, soul, and spirit. When others don't understand. Amen. Because they're down here and you're up there. Not that you are above them. You are above them spiritually, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you've been brought out of the lowlands of living. You are now seated with Jesus in heavenly places. So don't put yourself back where you have been brought from. We as humans know that we can have the top of the highest spiritual mountain to the bottom of the lowest spiritual valley in a blink of an eye if we're not careful. In an instant. And we do it all. How do we do this? How do we get ourselves back into that lowland living? By our thoughts. Okay? We can do it all in our hearts, our speaking, and what we are looking at. Okay? Proverbs 4:23 and 27 says, above all else, what do you do? Guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. And be steadfast in all your ways. So what is the condition of your heart today? It's either one or two conditions. Amen. You're either here or you're either there. So what is the condition of your heart? It's either living in the high places with Jesus and experiencing all of his blessings, where there is peace and joy, or it's the low land of despair and hopelessness. And how come? Because we're not guarding our heart. We're not guarding our heart by the words that we speak, as a person thinketh in his heart. And when you begin to think, you begin to act out what you're thinking, because you begin to speak what you were thinking. And he says, let your eyes, fix your eyes straight ahead. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And so you're either living in those two one of those two places. Isaiah, David said, this says in Isaiah 58:14, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So God says, I will make you ride on the high places of the earth because I have spoken it. And talking about the heritage here, we just talked about the inheritance that we received when we got saved. And so many times, so many Christians don't know about their inheritance. They're hoping, they pray every day, I hope I get to go to heaven, and they repent every night, and hopefully they'll get to go to heaven someday and inherit all that God has got for them. I don't know about you, but we need some blessings now. We need some healing now. We need some peace now. Because all of this inheritance is going to be finalized when we walk through the pearly gates. Amen. We're going to receive our full inheritance then. So how are you creating the atmosphere around you? Remember I said at the beginning, the snake line goes so far and it stops, because above that point, snakes can't live because of what? The atmospheric conditions, because they stop breathing and die. Wow. Ha. And so many people in church have stopped breathing, and I've said this more one time, and it still just resonates in my spirit. So many people have stopped breathing spiritually because they have allowed themselves to not be thinking like the Word and confessing what the Word says. They have put themselves back down in the low land of sin, in the low lands where there's snakes and all this stuff. And they've been bitten by the chickens and the mosquitoes and all of those things. Amen. So how are you creating that atmosphere around you? Is it conducive to what God says and who God says you are? Is it bringing you down, or is it bringing you to the mountaintop where the glory of God is? Guarding your heart is the inner core of who you are. The thoughts, the feelings, the desires, the will, our choices that we make us who we are. And just as there are many desires that affects the physical heart, you can begin to look at that and you can see the parallel between the physical heart and our spiritual heart. The things that go wrong with the physical heart. The things that go wrong with our spiritual heart. And just as there are, and it goes on, I go on here and I say just as there are many desires that affect the physical heart, there are ailments of the spiritual heart that can impair our growth as believers. Because we will only grow as fast as we choose to in the Lord and in our relationship with Him. What are we putting into it? Amen. So, you know, Pharaoh's heart, okay, let's go back up here. In the natural, we have what we call hardening of the arteries in the natural heart can occur. Hardening of the spiritual heart can also occur. And I see this a lot with Christian people. Pharaoh's heart was hardened against the truth that God intended to deliver. When you speak truth to somebody and they don't receive it, if that person is not careful, their heart will grow hard. Amen. So David pleaded with his people not harden their hearts in rebellion against God as they did in the wilderness. Your heart gets hard when you turn away from the truth of the word of the Lord, of God's promises and His word. So how does a Christian heart becomes hardened? Refusing to walk in the truth of the word. God says, I have placed you up here, but you're keeping yourself down here. And the more you keep yourself down here, the harder your heart grows toward the things of God. Refusing to walk in the truth of the word, continually allowing things in life to overshadow what we know as to be truth. And I want to read you a true story. And the story was titled, Taking Out the Heart of Stone. On February the 24th, 1948, one of the most unusual operations in medical history took place at Ohio State University's Department of Research Surgery. A stony sheath was removed from around the heart of a man named Harry Bechera. He was 30 years of age. When he was only a little boy, he had been shot accidentally by a playmate with a 22 caliber rifle. The bullet had lodged in his heart but had not caused death. However, a lime deposit had begun to form over the protective covering of the heart and was gradually strangling the life out of him. That deposit had been there for years and years. And how many times have we been in service or we've heard something and God said, you need to let that go. You know, you need to let go of that offense. It's a trap. You need to forgive that person. Forgiveness is more for you than it is for them. And when we refuse to do that, what happens? Our hearts start getting a little bit more harder. And it's easier to take on offense. Our hearts get a little bit more harder. It's easy to take on unforgiveness. So the operation was a delicate one, separating the ribs, moving the left lung to one side. The stony coating was lifted from the heart as an orange is peeled. Wow. Immediately the pressure of the heart was reduced and it responded by expanding and pumping normally. The patient said, I feel 1,000 times better already after the operation. So there's a parable here. Our hearts develop a protective coating because of things that come along in our life and we're not willing to lay it down. And we're not willing to let it go because, you know, we're a Christian. Yes, you are a Christian. But there are things that we need to let go and we need to let lay down. Things that make us insensitive to God. So there is a place for us to live as sons and daughters of God that He has placed us in. And that we are seated with Christ in Christ Jesus. He doesn't put us back down there in the lowlands, but we put ourselves back down there because of our thinking. Because we're not guarding our hearts. We're not fixing our eyes on Jesus. We allow things to enter into us and it just slowly builds up over time and you're not aware of it. Amen. And it's been medically documented, right, Miss Martha, that physical things that you don't let go of will literally strangle the life out of you. It causes all kind of medical stuff, physical things to go wrong in your body. So how many times are we saying we need healing when Jesus is actually saying, let that thing go? And when you let it go, it's not that you're trying to get healed by letting it go, but what you're trying to do is say, Lord, I want my heart pure. Search my heart. Know me. You know, is there anything that I may have hidden in my heart that's developing that deposit that I may not be aware of? So there is a place for us to live. And we are seated with him far above principalities and powers. So how do we remain in this position? We daily remind ourselves of who we are. And that's the first step, is knowing your identity in Christ. You know, if I don't know my identity, I know that I'm an employee of Adonta. I have a key. I can go in there and I can do whatever I need to do to get my job done. I don't have to call Somerset every morning and say, am I still an employee of Adonta? You know, and I've not been fired, or I can go in and do what I need to do. I don't need to do that every day. They probably would end up firing me if I did that every day. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have to go back to Jesus all the time and say, do I still have authority? Can I still talk to you? Can I still, you know, do what I need to do in this earth? And he said, I've done all I can do. I'm waiting for you to do what you need to do. Amen. So the devil can only preach. And I read this somewhere this past week, and I thought it was good. The devil can only preach through situations and circumstances. So when we're going through things in life that we don't understand, he can only preach and speak through the circumstances of our life. So are we allowing what he is saying to create that atmosphere over us that's not conducive to what God has promised us? So every once in a while, we have to go have a heart checkup medically, you know. They say, okay, you need to have a heart checkup. This runs in your family. But I found out when I was born again, I was translated into the kingdom of God. My bloodline is from a different family. And sometimes somebody in that family has to stand up and I say, hey, I know this has happened in this family, but I draw the bloodline right now. Amen. I settle it right now, devil. I draw that. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to every once in a while just go and say, God, shine your Holy Ghost searchlight in my heart and make sure that I'm not allowing deposits of this world, the things people are saying or the chatter that I'm hearing, to keep me from living continually in the high places that you have called me to. Do you have something you want to share, Pastor?
Sister Shirley preached an awesome message this morning. And I could not help but just to, as I was looking through the scriptures that she was using, and I told Laverne the other day, I want to preface what I'm getting ready to say by this. I told Laverne the other day that I feel so out of place in this world. I mean, everything that I have believed, everything that I have stood upon, everything that I have put my faith in and lived my life by is under attack. And you know, we have got to come to a place where we know that we know what we're doing and why we're doing it. And there's a verse of scripture in what she read from Colossians. It says this, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Now, you are not going to find the position that you need to be in for your life to be what she talked about this morning if you're looking at the news and the magazines and they listen to the radio and even getting an education. It's dangerous to get an education. They can teach you, I mean, can talk you right out of believing anything. Now, there are things that we need educations for, but there are things that education doesn't know anything about. And we don't need to be ignorant, but we don't need to be naive either. And I found out something, looking at a little thing. I just happened to have a thing going on over the past few weeks, and I've been doing this and that. But I looked up the population of Native Americans 1492. And the only thing that people can do is guess, because the Indians didn't keep censuses. But you know that old saying, you can look on the internet and find out anything you want to find out, any way you want to find it out. One place on there said 112 million Native Americans. 112 million. That was in one spot. And in a few other spots I looked at, it said somewhere in a neighborhood of 20 million. And most of the figures were down there, anywhere from 5 million to 20 million. Except this one place over 110 million. Now somebody is wrong. And how are you going to figure out who? There's no way you can do it. There's no record to go to find out what the truth is. And you can go to any source of information that's available to you every day, and you can get information, and you can't tell for sure whether it's the truth or whether it's somebody's idea of the truth. And you've seen that commercial, I'm sure, that it says, well, you know, I saw it on the internet. Couldn't be true. It has to be true if it's on the internet. Yeah. But we're going to have to set our lives in some kind of order so that we know how to stay out of the snakes. And the only way we've got is this. This. According to his working, which works in me mightily, Paul said. Now, the word is working mightily in me. The word is working mightily in me. No matter what I think or see, the word is working mightily in me. So if all your senses are telling you something else and the word of God is telling you this one thing, you are obligated under God to listen to that one thing and set aside all of the other information. Now, working. You know what that means? That's from the word, Greek word, energia. Sound like an English word you know of? Energy. The English word energy comes from this word. Energia usually describes the working of God. The working of God, which works mightily in me. I have had and you have had and everybody else has had all kinds of opportunities to turn this loose and accept modern philosophy. Now, I'm not talking about like the world being flat. The Bible doesn't say the world's flat. You know, we have the flat earth. There's still, I think, there's a flat earth society. The Bible doesn't say the world is flat. The Bible doesn't say the sun goes around the earth either. Man is just, and I did another study about an issue, and it so divided people. I'm not even going to tell you what it was, but it so divided people during its day that it called into question, well, the Bible seems to be contradicting itself. But you know where biblical contradiction comes from? Biblical contradiction comes from the mind of the reader. I have found out the more I study the Word of God, things that seem to conflict really don't, except in my own mind. And they were using, well, what it was slavery. And the Methodist Church split over it. It became the Northern United Methodist and the Methodist Episcopal South. And the South believed in slavery and the North didn't. The Baptist Church split. Southern Baptists. They were mainly in the South. They supported the practice of slavery. And people really went through, a rough time. Now, that's a big issue to say. One side uses scripture to say you can't do it. One side uses scripture to say there's nothing wrong with it. And the truth of the matter is the Bible teaches against it, not for it. And you know who finally was a big influence in getting rid of slavery in the British society? You might know the name. John Wesley and George Whitefield. Two great preachers of that day that made the impact and caused people to say, wait a minute. But why was it that way? Because it was culture. It was culture. Every culture on this earth has been involved at some time or other in slavery. And some of them still are. And it's amazing what people have supported with this book because they have got it from here and not here. That's the reason you read the book with understanding. I'll tell you something else. And I'm not going to go into this a lot, but I'll tell you what, if you watch too much Christian television, you won't know what you believe. If you try to believe everything that you can hear on Christian television and Christian radio, you'll find yourself going like this, just spinning in a circle, not knowing which way to stop. That's why you need to take it upon yourself, not just to listen to what somebody else says. But you need to find it in here. There's a lot of stuff in this book that I didn't know when I started out preaching. In 1971, 48 years ago. And you know what I preached? I preached what I knew. And I went to seminary. And not by the efforts of the seminary, but by the efforts of one teacher. Well, two teachers that were there. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they didn't even teach that at that seminary. But I ran into it there. And my eyes started opening. And the light of God's Word started coming alive to me. And I outgrew where I was. because I said, I'm not going to take people's opinion. I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to satisfy myself with what's in this book. Do I know it all? No. But if you think, if you plan your life that you're going to grow in Christ by anything else other than knowing this book, you're in for a disappointment. It won't get you there. And you know, that's one thing. The oldest, not the oldest, let me change that. The longest participant of New Life, Miss Phyllis Kellner, she told me many times, she said, I don't believe what I believe just because you said it. But I've got in my Bible, and I found out through the years, he's right. Like I said, I don't know everything, but what I know. And I know where I learned it. In God's Word, working with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a critical issue. Holy Spirit. I knew this Bible. I was thinking about this earlier, when we went to pastor the first church that we pastored, we had a youth group, teenagers. And Laverne and I led a youth group. And while we were there at this church, we got Scott. We adopted him. He was a little bit, just 3 months old when we got him. And he'd been there a couple of years. He'd been around his mom a couple of years. He'd had the education through her and me. But anyway, you could put him at 3 years old. Well, actually, wasn't even hardly three. 2 or 3 years old. And you could put him in a Bible quiz against the teenagers. And he could win. He knew more about the Bible than those teenagers, and all of them, too, had been in church all their lives. What? And that was the 1970s. What's it like now? What's it like now? 3%. 3% of this country actually consider themselves atheists. 3%. 4% are agnostics. An atheist just says, I don't believe in God. An agnostic doesn't know whether he believes in God or not because it hasn't been proven to him for certain yet. And 28%, now, not agnostic, not atheist, which means they in some form or other believe that there is a higher power. But they're not affiliated with any group, and they don't go to church anywhere, but they do have enough sense to come to the realization that there's a higher power that we have to be dealing with. 28% of the American population. So 28 and 7 is 35. So 35% of this country, and that doesn't include some of the rest of the people that go to church and don't really believe much. You know, you can go to church all your life and not believe much, but you don't know much. You can go to church all your life and never believe that God heals people because it was never preached, and if there was anything said about it, it was God don't do that kind of thing anymore. Miracles cease with the apostles. You know, the apostles were not the ones that did the miracles. It was the Holy Ghost in them that did it. It was the power of God that did it. It was the power invested in Jesus Christ that did it. The power, Paul said, it was working in me. That's what did it. And Hebrews says, Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if the Jesus Christ of the Gospels healed multitudes of sick people, Jesus Christ in the apostles in the book of Acts healed many people, did miracles, even translated Philip. Now, if he doesn't do those kind of things now, guess what? We are saying he's changed. If he will not deliver somebody now from the situation that they're in, but he did it back then, but he's not doing it now, that means he's changed. Now, I'm going to believe the book of Hebrews that says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, more than I'm going to believe a seminary professor or a preacher that gets up in the pulpit and says these things have all passed away. You're going to find out what Miss or Sister Shirley, you're going to find out that you can't live the way she taught this morning without living according to that book. That's where your strength is. Your strength is in that book. And I don't care what a church does or doesn't do, if they don't preach the Word of God and preach it with the authority of the Word of God, you're not going to get much. You may satisfy your flesh. They may have a good program. They may even have an outreach. They may even have donuts before service every morning, or every Sunday morning, or whenever they have service. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but when you stand before God, when you stand before the devil, what are you going, devil? Don't bother me. I had donuts and coffee at church this morning. You know, if you have donuts and coffee, fine. But don't think it's going to provide you any assistance against the works of the enemy. The only thing you're going to get by with in this world is that book. And you're going to have to hold on to it. And you're going to have to believe it even if it's not popular. And don't believe things that people say about the book that's not in the book. Somebody once said, you can take the Bible and prove anything. You can take the Bible and make it say whatever you want it to say. Even the devil knew that. It was scripture that he attacked Jesus with on the Mount of Temptation. Throw yourself off. It is written. His angels shall have charge over him and keep him from dashing his foot against the stone. Turn this food into... Remember, turn stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus came back and he was thrown. Oh, you want to talk scripture? I can talk scripture. The devil can talk scripture with you because he's been around a long time. That's why it's important to know and try the spirits. Try the spirits. See if they are of God. There's a lot of spirits that are speaking in this world today. And are not speaking in harmony with that book. There's nothing in that book that tells me that it's all right to sit around for a little while and decide whether or not you want to kill your baby. And then not be murdered. This book, it's got to be you standing on it. And I thought of that one time, the preacher's said he's standing on this and he threw it down on the floor and stood on it. I'm not going to do that this morning, but I'll have to pick it up. But she challenged us. Living above the snake line. That's what I would title this morning. Living above the snake line. or living above the serpent line. And then everybody could make more of a connection, living above the serpent line. Hallelujah. Anything else? When you go out of here this morning, you go out of here with determined purpose that this is the book that I build my life on. This is the book that I choose. And in all my study, I have never found a conflict in this book when it's rightly understood. Never been a conflict with true, proved science. Not any. You know, there's things that this book told us before we knew it. One of the things that it says in the scriptures that the earth is in a, I mean that the sun, that God put a channel for the sun to run in, and man assumed that it was the channel around the earth. But then science came along and they disproved the Bible. The sun doesn't really, and I think it was no big deal. Some people got killed over that. As heretics. But the Bible says the sun has a channel. God created a channel for the sun to race in. But now science says, no, it didn't. The sun doesn't circle around the earth. That's true. But God didn't say anything in the scripture where it read that he put our sun in a channel to run. Scientists had discovered that our sun is racing, as we would say, a mile a minute, going somewhere in a channel and dragging us with it. So the sun does run in a channel just like the Bible said, except it's not a channel around the earth. You won't find contradiction. I have to go on and on, but it's already 11 o'clock. Y'all are used to getting out earlier since I don't preach. Let's stand. Now, use the Word of God and be a trendsetter. Won't be popular, but you'll be a trendsetter. Go out there and look like Jesus. Spend next week in your life looking like Jesus and see what the world says about it. Some of them will say good things. Some of them will say, what's wrong with you? Narrow-minded, aren't you? No, I'm just truthful. My mind is as wide as it needs to be. Believe the truth. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, for everything that we have received from you. We thank you most of all, Lord God, for your word. Because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word shines in the darkness. When we can't see where we're going, your word will give us light. Your word is truth. Your word will reveal to us the true and living way. And Lord God, some things are just by faith. And by faith we understand that the world is reformed by the word of God. By faith. How you did it, how long it took you. There's some disagreement on that, but as long as we know that and believe that you did it. That you, Lord God, are in control. You're in control of our lives. You're in control of the destiny of this planet. You've given us wisdom as inhabitants of this planet. Help us to use that wisdom, Lord God, rightfully and correctly. We thank you, Lord, for all of your blessing. Bless your people this week as they go their way, into their jobs, their homes, with their families, with their neighbors, with their friends. Lord God, that we will be the light and the salt that you've said we're to be. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.